my hands.
So all your talk of cooperation is a sham, Joanna said.
Not so. I welcome your cooperation. And you will cooperate with me once I have Moonbase.
Joanna bit back the reply she wanted to make. Instead, she took a deep breath to calm herself. Yamagata interpreted her silence exactly.
I know that very little of this pleases you, but I hope you can understand why I must act so.
I can understand, Joanna replied, without agreeing.
Yamagata dipped his chin slightly.
Now that you understand, please tell your son that resistance is futile. If Moonbase resists the peacekeepers again, the results will be very bad for all of us.
What do you mean?
With an unhappy sigh, Yamagata answered,
If your son tries to fight the peacekeepers, forces will be set in motion that not even I can control.
Forces? Lev asked. What forces?
You think that I control Fore. I thought so too once. But he has the backing of fanatics, madmen who send out assassins and terrorists to accomplish their ends.
Fore has turned into a monster, Yamagata said bitterly.
A Frankenstein that I helped to create.
You're talking about the Nano-Luddites, Joanna said.
The Nano-Luddites. Fanatics who are so frightened of nanotechnology that they will destroy Moonbase if you try to resist the peacekeepers.
How could they destroy Moonbase? Joanna challenged.
If your son tries to fight against the peacekeepers, Moonbase will be wiped out, Yamagata replied. All its people will be killed, and there is nothing that any of us can do to stop it. It is too late to stop it. The forces are already in motion. That is why I urgently plead with you to allow us to take control of Moonbase. Cooperate with me, or Moonbase will be utterly annihilated.
Day 43. Doug's helmet earphones chirped.
Doug, this is Ginny.
Her voice sounded weak, faint.
Latest imagery from Kadar's bird shows Gordette's tractor parked outside Tempo 6.
Parked?
Didn't move all through the satellite's pass overhead, Anson said. That's only 5 minutes or so, granted, but it sure looks like he's either inside the Tempo or out there on foot.
Pushing the volume control on his wrist keyboard, Doug thought aloud. Maybe his tractor broke down. Dust, electrical malfunction.
Maybe,
Anson said. He could barely make out the word. Okay, thanks. We're heading that way. Call you when we get there.
Hell, you will. You'll be over the horizon even for the antennas up on Jaeger.
They were passing the crater's central peaks, Doug saw, where the astronomical center was located. Ginny's transmission was already starting to break up.
Okay, then, he said into his helmet mic. I'll call you when we're coming back. I'm sending a security team out after you, Anson said,
a faint whisper being drowned in crackles and hisses.
No, he snapped. No need for that. Can't hear you, boss, Anson said through the growing interference. You're breaking up too much.
Doug clicked from the long-range frequency to the suit-to-suit freak. She's pretty smart, Ginny is, he said to Edith. Knows how to use the systems.
I feel better knowing there's a security team backing us up.
By 3 hours or so, Doug said.
What makes you think she waited until now to send them out?
Doug felt his brows rise. You're pretty smart yourself, you know. Edith replied,
You're just figuring that out?
She could see Gordette's tractor trail easily now that there were no other cleat marks chewing up the regolith. No one's been out here in a long time, she thought.
Tempo 6 was one of the original shelters my father built, Doug explained.
Before they decided where the permanent base would be sited, they dug shelters into a dozen spots on the crater floor and outside the ring wall on Mare Nubium.
Do you think Gordette has really stopped there? Edith asked.
She waited for several moments before Doug replied. I don't know. I can't understand why he headed this far away from the base. There aren't any easy passes over the ring wall up in this region. If he wanted to get out of Alphonsus, Wojo Pass around Jaeger would be the easiest way.
Maybe he's going to meet somebody or get picked up, something like that, Edith said.
Maybe. She went on,
That'd mean he'll have other people with him, wouldn't it?
If they've been waiting for him at the temple, yeah, maybe.
Then we're steering ourselves right into a trap, Doug. He's tried to murder you twice. You're giving him another shot at it.
A longer silence this time. Edith stared at Doug's space-suited figure, trying to peer through it to see the man inside. All she saw was the Cermet suit, like armor, and the strange metal pistons of the muscle amplifiers on the backs of his gloves, like a skeleton's hands, but made of metal rather than bone.
Ginny didn't say there are any other vehicles parked at the Tempo, he said at last.
I don't think anybody else is there.
Then why did he stop there?
That's what we're going to find out, he said.
Why don't you wait for the security team to catch up with us? Edith urged.
I can't let him get away. He can tell the peacekeepers exactly how to knock out our electrical power and take over the base.
You don't think they know that already?
Bam knows what we've been doing, what we've been thinking. I can't let him tell it all to the peacekeepers.
Doug, you're full of bullshit, she said,
feeling anger rising in her.
You're acting like some macho gunslinger has got to face down the bad guy all by himself.
It's not that, Edith.
The hell it isn't. You're going to get yourself killed, and me too.
No, I... Doug realized there was some truth in Edith's accusation. He turned to look at her, and saw only the reflection of his own blank visor in the dim earthlight.
At least wait for the security team, she repeated.
Edith, I trusted him. I thought I saw a man I could rely on. I don't know why he tried to kill me.
Because he's an agent from the UN, Edith snapped. Or Yamagata, more likely.
Or maybe the Nano Luddites, Doug heard himself agree. I never thought of that before, but maybe they were able to infiltrate Moonbase after all.
Then why confront him?
Yes, why? Doug asked himself. The man's a murderer, a hired assassin, maybe a Nano Luddite fanatic. So what if he can tell the peacekeepers about the pitiful defenses we're trying to set up? Big deal. They're going to walk in here and take over the base no matter what you do. Then he thought of Tamara and how he helplessly watched Killifer rape and kill her. Murderer, his conscience shrieked. You let him murder her while you stood by as impotent as a baby. He saw Killifer's smug, hateful face, the glint in his eyes, the snarl of his voice. I'll find him, Doug told himself. I'll track him down wherever he is and kill him. I'll rip his guts out. I'll tear him apart. But Killifer's a 500,000 kilometers away, on a world you'll never return to. Gordette's within reach. You'll be face to face with him soon. Are you going to kill Bam? Are you going to make him pay for Killifer? Why not? What difference does it make? They're all killers, all murderers. It's time to start paying them back, time to even the score. Yet another voice in his head spoke. I liked Bam. We could have become good friends in time. He seemed so steady, so focused, like a big brother. And then Doug remembered. Greg tried to kill me, too.
What?
Edith asked. Maybe it's me. Maybe there's something wrong with me.
What are you talking about, Doug?
My older brother, Greg. Half-brother, really. He went berserk and tried to wipe out the whole base. He wanted to kill me, just like Bam does.
What happened to him?
I killed him, Doug said, the memories choking his voice. I didn't want to, but there was no other way. It was Edith's turn to fall silent. Doug steered the tractor automatically, following the bright cleat marks in the eon's darkened regolith.
Remembering.
Remembering.
So you want to confront Gordette to bring your brother back, is that it?
She asked at last. Doug shook his head inside his helmet.
No, I don't think so.
Then he had to admit, I don't really know, Edith. It's just something I've got to do. Yet he could not erase the sight of Killifer's leering, twisted face. Georges Faure found a 3-second lag in communications with the moon especially aggravating. How can one conduct a proper conversation when there is such a wait between words?
1 week. The peacekeeper colonel said at last in reply to Faure's question. 10 days at the outside.
Why so long, Colonel Giap? Faure inquired.
Why not tomorrow?
And now we wait again.